God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have a seat. As most of you know, I have a strong affection for the University of the South, or as it's more commonly known, Sewanee. I love it because I went to seminary there. I love it because I got my doctorate there. I love it because my son Colton is a junior there. I love it so much that I'm a trustee of the University of the South, and we had Parents Weekend and trustee meeting just this last weekend. That's why I wasn't here at church last Sunday. I love it that they put those two things back to back, that we have trustees meeting and Parents Weekend. It's like you live in a Norman Rockwell painting while you're there for those 4 days. It's spectacular. So at the trustees meeting, we went, and like most trustee meetings of most organizations, at an annual meeting, we listened to report after report after report. So we heard from the vice chancellor, who's the president of the university, and we heard from the chancellor, the bishop of Florida, and then we heard from the chaplain. Now, interestingly, Sewanee, there are only two positions that are hired by the trustees. One is the vice chancellor, and the other is the chaplain. And so the chaplain, Tom McPhee, makes a report to the trustees every year. It was fun because Tom and I are old friends. We were classmates in seminary. And matter of fact, Tom might be one of the primary reasons I actually graduated from seminary, because Tom was a very serious student. He was a 4.0 sort of guy, and he still is a 4.0 sort of guy. And much to my benefit and to his chagrin, we were study buddies in seminary. I think he's a 4.0 guy because he doesn't like to fish. You know, I think it's that simple. Anyway, he helped me get through seminary, so we've stayed good friends for this whole time. So to listen to him talk, an old man with gray hair and bald now, is kind of fun. So I was listening to him talk, and he was talking about the work of All Saints Chapel. Now, All Saints Chapel, to give you a picture of Sewanee, if you've never been there, it's 13,000 acres, and All Saints literally sits in the center of that property. And all of the classroom buildings and the cafeteria and the commons and all of that are beautiful stone buildings in sort of circles around the chapel. So it really does sit right in the middle of the university. So he was talking about the work of All Saints Chapel, the worship that was going on there, the ministries that they were doing. And he said this. He said, All Saints Chapel provides a dynamic stability in the center of our lives. In Sewanee. It provides a dynamic stability in the center of our lives in Sewanee. I was captured by that sentence, so much so I wrote it down, and I kind of stopped listening for a little while, because I was thinking about that juxtaposition of those two words, a dynamic stability. I mean, it is a stable, substantial building. If you go see it, it is a Gothic worship structure. Seats 1,000 people. It's cathedral-esque in its appearance. You know, it's been there a long time. And best you can tell, it's probably going to be there a lot longer. So it is a very stable place. And yet, it's dynamic. It's alive. It's growing. It's changing. I think it's the case in any university, when 50% of your population is either on their way in or on their way out, that's pretty dynamic. And so the ministries change and grow over the years. And it's at the center of their lives in Sewanee, both physically, but also spiritually and emotionally, just sort of in the center. I stopped listening to Tom also because my mind began to wander, and I hope it wandered to the same place yours is wandering right now. It made me start thinking about St. Paul's. It made me start thinking about this place as a place that provides a dynamic stability in the center of our lives. Now, it would be prideful and an overstatement to say that St. Paul's serves that in the city of Waco. We're not quite that big. Sewanee only has 3,000 people in it, right? You know, so he's running around. Sewanee only has 3,000 people in it, so it is the center of Sewanee. But here, it's too big to say it's the center of Waco. But I don't think it's too big to say that perhaps it is a dynamic stability in the center of your life. It certainly is in mine. I'll tell you confessionally, St. Paul's serves as the place that offers dynamic stability in my personal life. I know part of it's because I work here, so I'm here all the time. I'm involved in everything, but I think it's more than that. Ask my family, ask my wife and my kids, what's the center of your life? And you wouldn't get far down the list before St. Paul's was there. It's at the center of who we are. Our kids are kind of famous for saying, we do church. That's what we do. St. Paul's is right there in the middle of that. And I would imagine that's true for you as well. It's a stable place. It's the oldest standing religious structure in Waco. And she's substantial. She's small, but she's substantial. And apparently, pretty sound. 17 inches of rain, and we're still here. So there's a stability there. We come and we read texts from a book that's thousands of years old. Stability. We read these ancient liturgies with a cadence that betrays the modern world, but that touches our heart in some profound way. But it's also dynamic. It's moving and changing all the time. We're offering different Bible studies and different book groups and different ways that you can do ministry, different ways that you can learn about Christ and participate in your life in Christ. It's a place where we come for our joys. How many beautiful babies and adults have we seen baptized right here over the years? And confirmations, and today our third grade Bible presentations that we will give to our sweet kids. The joys is also where you come to sit or kneel, either together or privately. Think about your own life. Bring to the Lord your concerns, your joys, your thanksgivings, your worries. Or you come pray about your marriage, or pray about your children, or worry about your job, that last visit to the doctor. This is the place where we do this. And how many of our brothers and sisters have we rolled right down this aisle and put right here in the casket under a pall to help them usher their lives back into the greater life? And we grieve and we honor and we love and celebrate their lives. Begin to think this is where we come to play with our kids for Halloween and make a safe place for them to trick-or-treat in the parking lot. It's a place where we come to sing and to listen to beautiful choirs sing. It's a beautiful instrument played. It's a place where we come to serve food to the hungry, to find ways that we can reach out and touch the community around us. And that's just the beginning of the list. All of these things that are dynamic and alive, that are part of our life. So after Tom finished talking, it won't surprise you at all, because it was a trustees meeting, that the treasurer got up next. The treasurer got up to talk to us about the university. Because we're the trustees, we're the ones who are supposed to be the ones taking care of it, the ones funding it, the ones holding it up and making sure that it's all those things. And they began in an unabashed and unapologetic way to explain what it costs to do this, what it costs to provide a university to these students, and what it costs to provide a chapel that does the work it does. So I stand here this morning as your rector, unabashedly and unapologetically talking to you, because you are the ones who are responsible for making St. Paul's a place that is dynamic stability in the center of the lives of others. It's ours. And every once in a while, usually it's the month of October, we're asked to pause and do some real practical conversation. And I know it may break that beautiful spiritual imagery that I just had about all the beautiful places it holds in your life, but it's time also to talk about how the sausage is made. This is how it actually works. And this is how much it costs to do it. It is the oldest standing religious structure in Waco. When you have the oldest anything, it costs a lot of money to keep it. She's old and she's creaky and she's expensive. And so it requires a lot from us. We're just now finishing, and I hope we got finished putting a new roof on the school and part of the education building and fixing, patching holes in the nave. $200,000 worth of roofing that's just about finished. We can do that because two parishioners, decided that St. Paul's should be in their will. And we received that gift just in time to put a roof on this building before 17 inches of rain hit. they loved this church. It was the center of their life. And so they comfortably and happily said, here, we're in. We have a day school that serves 160 kids, where they come together and they learn about the world, but from an overtly Christian lens. And no one could afford to pay the tuition if it was tuition only. So the church supports that with a property and supports it with a huge financial gift every year just to make it accessible so people can come. I want you to think about the staff members. You have 14 staff members just at the church, not counting the school. 14 part-time and full-time staff members that help design and create and offer for you beautiful music and beautiful worship, ministries, book studies, Bible studies, children's ministry. The list goes on and on and on. We have a presence over at Baylor's campus. We provide that person. We provide half of that person. How do you provide half a person? We provide half a person, and the diocese provides the other half. And the property over there, we help support that. The list goes, right? It just goes on and on and on. To the tune of about $1.4 million a year is what it costs to do St. Paul's. And so I come to you, standing in the pulpit. You all know I generally, if I'm not talking about what's in the Bible that day, I usually stand over here. But I'm standing in the pulpit because I believe what I'm saying to you is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is very clear. What we as the faithful are called to do, which is a thanksgiving offering back to the Lord, 10% of our income. It's Old Testament, it's New Testament, it's been the consistent teaching of the church since day one all the way to today. 10% of your income. It's not one thing on the list of all the other really good things that you love and support. The church is the thing. It's the center. It is the dynamic stability at the center of your life and at the center of mine. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.